Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
Now, the Minister for Agriculture has condemned the abuse of animals exposed by Fran McNulty in an RTE Investigates programme last night and has said the issues raised will be vigorously pursued by a Department of Agriculture investigation, which is underway. Well, for more on this story, we're joined now by leader of the Social Democrats, Holly Kearns, and ICMSA President Pat McCormick. And you're both welcome to the programme this evening. I'll get reaction from both of you, if that's okay, to last night's programme. Perhaps, Holly, I might start with yourself.
Yeah, I think in one way it's surprising, but Sarah, to be honest, I think anybody who is involved in agriculture, who works in the sector, be that on a farm or in the department or in Chagask or perhaps for a representative body, had some idea that there is a huge kind of amount of bull calves and, you know, people kind of maybe ignored that reality or put it to the back of their minds. But it's shocking, but actually in many ways, it's not that surprising. And I think deep down, everybody's known that this kind of non-stop expansion of dairy with no limits, with no considerations for impacts like this, and it is only one impact, actually isn't good for the dairy sector in the long term, nor is it good for agriculture in Ireland in general, because our green brand and kind of positive animal welfare reputation is a huge part of the value of the sector. So I think there's a lot of different moving parts, but for the most part, I thought it was horrific. To see the calves being treated like that is just absolutely horrible. And I think as well, my thoughts are with a lot of farmers who today would feel like, God, that doesn't represent me at all. Like I remember when I was young growing, like if you look back at photo albums, you'd see I grew up on a dairy farm, all of the cattle in the photo albums and the odd picture of me and my siblings. A lot of people, you know, when we stopped milking, we kept the cattle on the farm as pets. It was far from the dairy sector of today in terms of how bull calves were treated as well. Because of breeding practices, bull calves are now not suitable for the beef sector anymore. That wasn't always the way. But this very quick transformation of agriculture is having massive impacts. That shouldn't be a surprise to anybody, but it doesn't take away from how horrific the scenes were in the Investigates programme last night.
And Pat, what do you think of that? Shocking, but actually not that surprising. In fact, a sense that industry knows well this is happening.
I wouldn't accept that. It was disappointing, extremely disappointing and disturbing, to be honest. There are going to be individuals and groupings out there today who should have rosy cheeks. The marts that were highlighted in the marts staff, the exporter and the lorry driver who didn't honour the legislative requirements of travelling across the European Union. That's extremely disappointing. I suppose just to pick up, Holly, maybe on one issue there, the vast majority of calves that are produced in Ireland are fit for purpose in the beef industry and do play an integral part in our beef industry, given that 57% of the national kill originates in the dairy herd in 2022. So, you know, there is, and I suppose what this is a real wake-up call for our industry.
But is it a wake-up call, Pat? Because you're saying you wouldn't accept that people knew this is happening in the industry. Have you never heard of this happening?
Look, first of all, it's very evident that this isn't a widespread issue. I'm extremely disappointed with the transport of that lorry and the way that lorry
I'm going to interrupt you if you don't mind. Why do you say it's evident that this is a widespread issue? This isn't a widespread issue because RT Investigates visited multiple marts in several locations, and at each mart, several people were involved in this sort of mistreatment. So on what basis do you say this is not a widespread issue?
They did, and they gave 5-6 months putting this programme together and observing the industry. And they got footage across a number of marts and with one lorry. And we must remember that there's 196,000 or 97,000 calves exported at this point in time. That's about 1.5 million calves born in the country thus far, year to date. And they came up with, to be fair to Fran, he came up with probably 10 minutes of extremely damning footage of our industry, and we cannot condone it, and we welcome the minister's announcement where he's going to investigate it. But equally, the most disturbing pictures were in a French lairage 4 years ago, where there was a huge issue and there was an investigation and there were significant sanctions for that lairage. And, you know, also, I suppose, disturbing footage was footage from New Zealand and the slaughtering of calves over there. So the reality is the two most disturbing points that were in the programme last night were dealt with And well, one of them was non-relevant to Ireland, and that's the New Zealand footage. And the other one was Alairage and Friends that had a significant sanction a number of years ago for a breach and Holly, a total misconduct.
What do you think of that? That the worst stuff that's happening isn't happening on Irish soil?
I think it's a continuation of the kind of, I understand where Pat's coming from, but it's a continuation of this attitude of let's not deal with this issue. And I think that's really damaging to the sector, because even like that, the minister is condemning it and instigating an investigation. And that's very welcome, but it's not enough. This is a huge sector for Ireland economically, but also culturally for us, I believe, as well. So we need a change in our approach, because this model of intensification and supposed kind of efficiency has consequences. And I recognise what Pat's saying about some bull calves going into beef, but there's 500,000 bull calves coming out of the sector a year. And like that is like very blatantly because of the mass expansion of dairy over the past 10 years. We're at 1.6 million now in the herd. That's an increase of 40%. Yep. So and to there be fair, has Sarah, to be, sorry, Pat, can I just finish? Because there's some short-term solutions to this that I think need to be highlighted. One thing, and I know Pat will agree with me on this, is the use of sexed semen. And in the Social Democrats' alternative budget last year, we had said there should be zero VAT on that as a way of incentivising more people to use that. Because then you have guaranteed female calves. And that's one thing. But obviously we need more than that. That's kind of removing a disincentive. We need to actually incentivize it. Then there's changes in breeding practices to kind of more towards dual breeding. If you see the way dairy cows are being bred, they're more and more kind of slender and just bred for kind of efficiency, not for dual purpose. So we need to move away from that. Then we obviously need to enforce existing animal welfare laws that are not working. But crucially, we have to take a new approach. Everybody, including people in dairy, know that it did go a little bit out of control. When the milk quotas were first lifted, the government wanted to increase production by 50%. It has increased by 68%. This isn't to the benefit of the sector on the whole, because of it's now potentially damaging its credibility and reputation, but it's also damaged other sectors, for example, tillage.
Don't accept that now, and okay. I would like an opportunity to respond. On the VAT, on the sex semen, yes, I'm actually after coming out of a meeting with Minister McConnell Logue where we proposed that. Obviously, conception rates were a delicate issue as regards sex semen versus conventional semen. There are technologies out there to deal with this, be it the collar or the bolus, for optimum AI usage. Equally, we have been proactive, and the only farm organisation over the last 3 years that have looked for a meaningful dairy calf to beef scheme that would promote the use of sex semen and then the use of conventional beef bulls for an early finish, be it the traditional ones, the Angus, the Hereford, and the various other continental breeds. We need to move forward as a group, and we need to consolidate our industry, and we need to become more efficient at what we do. But there are huge opportunities out there to embrace the technologies that will aid that. And sex semen is a game player. Yeah. We've seen significant use of sex semen increase in 2023.
That is one potential, Pat, that's one potential solution.
But just to correct her, sorry, Sarah, if I can come back in there.
Yeah, just, I want to ask you a question. Go on.
Because it's 196,000 male bull calves that are exported thus far this year. And the vast majority, even all of those aren't males. Some of those are beef, and they're beef heifers that are exported to Poland. A significant portion of the dairy male calves, and I re-emphasise it, are fit for purpose. They are dual purpose, and they can make a difference. And we need the support from the government in the form of the dairy beef scheme to make that a viable option. Because regrettably, we've seen the number of suckler cows reduce in this country.
Okay.
And there is an opportunity for those farmers to continue in livestock, albeit in dairy beef, if the incentives are put in place.
Okay. I want to ask you, though, about the culture, because it strikes me that you are not accepting there is a cultural issue here, and particularly in dairy-intense areas, where it seems to be that if you have a large volume of animals, the culture is to get rid of them, and it doesn't matter how you treat them. And it strikes me that you're not accepting that that's
Sarah,
the culture.
Sarah, I don't accept that at all. And if you watched the programme last night, you'll have seen that I was very much open to the films that were shown to us, and the stress on calves in marts, and the misappropriate use of the stick in marts, and you know, actually, yeah, there's no business having a stick in a mart with calves, and I made that very, very clear.
And so yet it's there, though.
I'd be disappointed with that. Equally, you know, we need to see the department move, because there's a lot of talk about nitrates out there. We need to see them ease the burden of holding the calf on farm for 6 or 8 weeks, you know, where it's not having an impact on the overall farm nitrates. We need to see the TB testing regime relaxed from 42 days to the 120 days that was evident during the COVID period.
I'm really sorry to interrupt you, Pat. I know these are all practical problems that farmers are facing, right, on the farm. None of them fix or are a justification for the treatment of the animals that we saw last night. That's a cultural problem. That's a mindset.
No. That is a minority cultural problem, and it is a mindset.
And you haven't provided me with any evidence that that's a minority cultural problem. You know, I know you wrote yourself 12 to 18 months ago, you wrote to the department as part of the stakeholders forum that you have, and you said that they need to do something, for example, about cows being killed and slaughtered at a young age. Like, you've raised these problems yourself.
Without a doubt. But that's confined. We've 18,000 dairy herds, and that's confined to 100 or 200 herds that have a significant issue. And, you know, I question their wisdom in continuing with the breeding policy that they have.
Okay, but I'm just going to ask you for clarity on that. Where are you getting those figures, that this is only 100 or 200 herds that there's a problem in?
Because we are part of the stakeholder group, and that's where the figures are available and were available. And if you look at the record of it, we said that the department needed to be more proactive as regards the elimination of this practice. We said that not in 2023. We didn't say it in 2022. We actually came up with it in 2020 because we could see this becoming an issue. But I'm going to reiterate, on 99.5% of the dairy farms that are out there, animal health is a major priority for them. They'll get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, they'll feed a calf. They mightn't get their own breakfast till midday, but they'll feed all their calves and they'll make sure of it, because in the vast majority of cases it's a family farm model where it's a mother, a father, a son, a daughter, an aunt, an uncle, a sister or a brother that's doing the feeding. And they take pride in their stock.
I think most people accept that the small farmer in particular takes care of their animals, but that's really not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the dairy intense areas, and Holly, I want to ask you about that as well, because like, the first step towards fixing a problem is admitting you have a problem, and if you don't admit there's a problem in the dairy intense areas, then you're not going to change the culture.
Well, Sarah, and I'm going to put in there, because you cannot say that we're not admitting there's a problem. We highlighted the problem to the department going back 2-3 years ago.
You're saying it's a small problem. It's a minority.
It's a minority, and you're tearing the majority of farmers with being heartless and being cruel, Pat.
And this is
animals.
A tactic often in avoiding the necessary conversation that we need to have around this, because it is broadly acknowledged and accepted that most farmers treat their animals well. Everybody knows that. That's not the point of the conversation.
The point of the conversation needs to be
how did we get into a situation where we have what is basically now being treated as a waste product in Irish agriculture of so many bull calves that they're trying to sell them in the marts for a euro, begging people to take them away. And it is a result of short-termism in policy making, that this model has been driven.
And
politics lends itself to that, Pat, because people think in short-term things in terms of their votes often. So time after time, we've seen government after government, particularly Fine Gael governments, with Simon Coveney, he lifted the quotas, driving this intensive model. And this, in relation to bull calves, is one of the consequences. There's many others that we could go into. I don't think we'll have time in this programme. But our waters, all of these things. But it's all under the guise. I didn't interrupt you, Pat. All under the guise that this is somehow good for agriculture. And I have to ask, on what planet? Because this sector needs a viable future. Sarah, at the moment, we have just 7% of farmers are younger than 35. 33% of farmers are aged over 65. So the future of agriculture has to be considered in relation to this. And just blindly driving a sector towards more and more intensification and refusing to acknowledge that that is part of the problem isn't helpful for dairy farmers. And so many, in fact, any dairy farmer I meet actually knows that. You can't blame an individual farmer, nobody does, for looking at the short-term financial benefit of their own farm. But the fact that we're not talking about the change in policy approach, that is the job of the government, to balance the greater good and the future of the sector. It's not up to individual farmers do that, and nobody expects them to. But we can't avoid the conversation that needs to be had about this, because it's crucial to protect the future of agriculture.
And we'll have that.
And a final word to yourself, Pat, please.
We look at the consolidation of the meat processing industry. We look at the erosion of the margin in the dairy industry. Unfortunately, the family farm model has been forced into increasing output in order to maintain a reasonable level of income. And, you know, I think everybody right across the food chain, from the producer to the consumer, and I say equally the consumer, needs to look at this. We need to look at the fairness that's out there of margin across the food chain, be it the processor, and indeed we'll include the retailer in this. This is a far wider discussion than what was had last night about the scenario that we find ourselves in.
And sorry, it's a wider clarify, discussion that we will have had today as well.
Okay, and just to clarify, Pat, what you're saying about that, for example, is that people need to be willing to pay more for their milk, pay more for their beef. Is that what you're saying?
And, Sarah, and the various sections, whether it is processor or retailer, we need to have a more transparent marketing mechanism than we have in place. We know what the primary producer is getting. They're getting the same price now as they got 35 years ago. That's economically unsustainable.
Okay. Holly, very briefly, I have to go.
The cost of food comes into this regularly and that has to be considered. But we have to consider that there is no such thing as cheap food. There's some kind of cost, like we saw last night, like an environmental cost. And as farmers, we're subsidised to produce food. So okay, the government pays for that. And then it's sold for cheaper to supermarkets. They're the one that benefits. So taxpayers subsidise the price of food all the time. Farmers get that. So we need to have a much broader conversation about this.
Farmers are subsidised to produce food.
No, I'm saying that we're price takers, not price makers, Pat. And you know that because we're subsidised by department subsidies.
All right, folks, I'm very sorry. We do have to leave it there. And it is a much bigger conversation. We will come back to it. Thank you both very much for joining us, Holly Kearns and Pat McCormick. Let us know what you think to 51551.